I am Chris Von Erich. Come on, Franklin. That's hot. Are you serious? If you walk around looking like that, you deserve it. I got something to say about that. This is The Red Lens. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Von Erich, and this is The Red Lens. It is Thursday night here in New York, a soggy night, as it would be. We're, again, in the throes of winter, and it sucks, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody in the Northeast knows it, but I'm not going to dwell on that. I am going to brave the weather, steer the course, and get on with this damn program, because we have a packed program. And tonight, we don't do it a lot, but we have a lot of guests on here, a lot of people that I think should have a voice or doing some good things out there. And tonight is no exception to that. I also, before I be remiss, I want to introduce my co-host, Franklin. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right, Chris. I understand we, like you said, we have a packed show, so I'm anxious to get right to it.
Yes.
And lay it on me, man. Lay it
Absolutely.
On me.
Well, first and foremost, we want everybody to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That is The Red Lens. Do that. Like it. Share it. Share it to your buddies. Hit that notification bell so that you are aware of all the stuff that we're uploading here. You will see that the live call-in number is 877-978-1745. That is a toll-free number. So if you are in Canada or wherever the hell you are, you can call in. Please note that we are having an interview tonight, so we're not going to be on the phones immediately, but you can call. We got a waiting queue, so maybe if you have a question of our guest, you can chime in. You can do that. You can also, in the chat, I have thrown it up there, and I will continue to do it throughout the night. There is a link, so if you are totally unplugged, you don't have a phone, you can do it through your phone, and it's right here. It's callinstudio.com, / show The Red Lens, so you can do that. And what I'll actually do is I'll be a nice guy, Franklin. You know, I'm usually not that nice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's the occasion?
But tonight, you know, I like our guests, so I am going to be nice, and I will actually throw that sucker right into the chat all those people to call in through their computer. You could do that, that's great. I also want you guys to know that you can find us on Twitter at The Red Lens One. Facebook is the dedicated Facebook page for the program. And also we're on the gram, and we proudly broadcast to MGTOW.TV at The Red Lens. And you can like, comment, subscribe. If you wish to donate, you can do that through Cash App. And we love you for that. And
here comes the money.
Here we go. And we'll get, actually, that's very apropos for tonight, that sound drop.
Really?
We want you to do that. So without further ado, I am going to bring up our guests. Please do not adjust your sets. These two are brothers. They are twins, so you're not going crazy. It is just how they are. But these guys have a fledgling betting service, an online betting website, and pretty much they're on every piece of multimedia. They know what the hell they're talking about, and we're going to get into everything here in terms of betting, sports, online wagering, whatever the hell is crazy. We'll have our heads spinning by the end of it, but we will learn something nonetheless. These guys know their crap. So let's bring him in here. We're going to bring him in here from Earl Sports Bets. How are you guys doing tonight?
Can't complain. Going to have a little bit of sports betting stuff, and got a bunch of action already in tonight, so making some money and ready to talk some more about what we do and everything about it.
Well, that's what I like to hear. I like to hear that, you know, these guys, Franklin, they're making money. So let's try to get everybody else out there rich. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't point this out. You guys are like the new crop of guys out there. You're the young guys. You've seized the opportunity for online betting and getting into this. Actually, it's been around for a while, but it used to be OTB, where you'd have to go somewhere and place a bet and do, you know, spend hours. Now you can do stuff online. You guys actually, as I said before, you have, you know, your earlsportsbet.com. That's your main website. Okay. You're also on YouTube at Earl Sports Bets. You have your Twitter account, your Instagram account, and by God, Franklin, they even have a TikTok.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, these guys are hitting the ground running with both feet.
This is amazing. So my first question is basically, what drew you guys into this area and decided to kind of start this business?
Well, we kind of started with, you know, sports since pretty much birth. We grew up in New York. And we were diehard Mets fans. And pretty much since like 7, 8 years old, we were looking over the statistics, batting averages, home run, everything that had to do with the Mets. And just looking at numbers. And eventually as we got older, we started branching out to other teams, other sports. And we figured out that, hey, I'm pretty good with numbers. And it works out where I wanted to do something involving sports. And then when I realized, hey, I can bet on this stuff and find an edge and be able to make a living doing sports betting, we kind of grabbed that and ran. We figured out, hey, we could use statistics, we could use numbers and make a bunch of money. So kind of started from young age where we love baseball, and baseball is kind of our main sport. But we do everything at this point, from baseball to basketball, hockey, football. Nick's betting on curling right now for the Olympics. We do everything right now. So it's a lot of fun being able to come on and just talk sports and be able to do this as like our job. So it's kind of sweet, actually. And yeah, that's how we kind of started, and that's how we're running with it.
Now, You said that in terms of like your job. Now, is this a full-time job for you guys? Are you also in school? What is your day like?
For me right now, I'm not in classes, but for this period of time from October to March is like the busiest part of the sports betting year, where there's football, NBA, college basketball, NHL. There's everything going on right now. So we do our show at like 10 o'clock in the morning. And then pretty much after the show ends, we start prepping for the next day. There's a lot of sports that go into each and every day. On certain days, we can have upwards of 150 college basketball games that we have to look over, get statistics down for, numbers down for, and just that takes up a lot of time at this point. So my normal day includes the show and then a lot of just looking at numbers and statistics, and then we have a couple other shows over on Picks and Parlays, another site that we're kind of part of. And this is our kind of a full-time gig at this point. Yeah.
So do you each do the same thing in terms of the business and the channel and whatnot, or what are your duties between the two of you?
Nick, you want to go with that one?
I'm more of like the content guy. I do a lot of the stuff when it comes to our streams and stuff like that. I make all the thumbnails for the videos and stuff along those lines. I also edit videos for the site that Tim also mentioned, the channel Picks and Parlays. That's what I do. That's like my income right now, along with the site and what we're doing on our channel. That's my main thing. And I also do go to classes. I'm at East Carolina right now, so I'm a Pirate. But we usually we have our show in the morning, and then this is kind of like a full-time gig for us.
Well, you know, it's, you know, Franklin, it's good at least one of them is staying in school, because if this thing goes down the tubes, at least, you know, there's a fallback position somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what, from the way they got everything going on, it doesn't sound like they ain't going down any kind of tubes. It sounds to me like there's nothing but up for these two.
No, that's
what, I know you're playing, but that's what it sounds like. That's actually, this is very, very interesting. I noticed past couple of days, I've been hearing a lot of advertisements on AM radio and, you know, FM about, you know, sports being legal in New York. And I was, okay, big deal. Now I see it is a big deal. It's a lot bigger than I thought it was. Yes. I had no idea that, you know, there was a market for such thing. My previous girlfriend, her father used to do the whole, like you said, OTB thing, and, you know, go to the place and all like that. And now I see there's no reason to do that. That's actually good. Now, I'm sorry, maybe I missed it. Are you also involved in sport? Horse racing, that sort of thing as well? Maybe I missed it.
We really don't touch into horse racing. That's kind of more of a degenerate type sport, because that one's really, really random. But we jump into more of the core sports that are going on.
Okay.
Like basketball, baseball, football, hockey, that type of stuff.
No NASCAR, F1, anything like that? No.
All right. It's a little bit too random.
Those are a lot different of a handicap, and I just haven't gotten into that. By the way, when we say handicap, it's just that's when you look at games and stuff like that. That's called sports handicapping, is when you break down games, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And then back on the other mention of where you're like, you didn't think it was that big of a deal when it was, or you didn't realize how big of a deal it was. In the month of January alone, I'm seeing a report here that over $1.1 billion was bet in New York, which broke a month record. That was set by Arizona for wagering handles. So the handle is just how much money they accept for putting bets down. So New York, that was a huge market that they were ready to finally have available. So New York was a huge one, and they broke records, New York.
What about, it's kind of a silly call, maybe not so much, but the state itself is probably getting a good chunk of that for taxes. I can almost bet, because nobody in New York, nobody does anything to help anybody else for nothing. It's somebody's got their hand in the till there. What I mean by that, I mean the state's being benefited as well.
Yeah, 100%. That's of course kind it of is. Like
that's the way it's legalized.
Yeah, that's kind of way that all the states get legalized is, well, we'll add gambling into your state, but when when you take it out, you'll have to pay X amount of gambling tax. Which each state is different. I can imagine that New York's is through the roof, because there would probably be the highest tax, minus if California ever got legalized, which I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, you can't do anything in California.
Yeah, no, California will be years in the future. They'll be probably the second to last state to ever get it. You'll never see sports betting in Utah. That's just one thing that will never happen. But no, New York is
what that state needs. They need something. They need a vice in Utah.
No, they'll never jump on it. But New York is probably the biggest state, and because they're legalized now, you're going to see a humongous boom in sports betting. And you guys probably already recognize it now. When you guys watch TV, you'll probably see 2 to 3 like DraftKings ads or FanDuel or
MGM, Caesars,
like all the, like the sports books are all of a sudden in New York, and you're going to be bombarded with them. Hopefully not too much, because that's kind of how DraftKings did with DFS, and that kind of really did not work. It got overwhelmed, but hopefully with sports betting in New York, they don't bombard everybody with the ads, but you'll still see a bunch of ads for the different books. So
local radio station was killing it the other day. Every other, it must have been 2 or 3 commercials per 30 minutes. It was there were 2 commercials. I'm sorry. 2 commercials for the same thing, the same commercial. Mm-hmm. Every 30 minutes. So they're paying for spots on the radio on broadcast. Yeah. So it's good. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. And when these sports books advertise, one thing they need to keep in mind is to advertise enough so people know who you are, but don't overdo it, because it could end up turning like people who do have problems with this. When you advertise it too much, it's almost like seeing 30,000 beer commercials when you're in AA. Like, it could be one of those type of situations where
it can be bad after a while if you overdo it with advertisements. The people who had problems with this and are trying to get through an addiction there, it would be very hard for them to be able to do that if they continuously see, join DraftKings Sportsbook, join BetMGM, join Caesars. It would be tough for them to do that. So that's one thing they have to keep in mind, these sportsbooks, when they advertise, is not to overdo it when they're advertising.
Good thinking. I hadn't thought of that, to tell you the truth.
So I guess this is a question to you guys here. The CSN here is asking, is it a good idea to be involved in the business end of things while you're also just on betting? I don't know if he's talking about an individual or if, like what you guys are doing with your business venture here.
In order to make it a full-time thing, you got to have some type of brand behind you. You need to, sports betting, you're having a good year if you're hitting at like 55%, which you're making a decent amount of money, but it depends on how much you're betting. You're going to need something behind you. So whether or not that's you selling picks or you doing like broadcasts and media stuff, you need something behind you in order to make this a full-time gig. And not, like 1% of sports bettors are doing this full-time and only doing the sports betting part of it. So yeah, you need something behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Mighty Zane says here, interesting state of affairs between the former coach Flores and the Miami Dolphins with the allegations of tanking to get better betting odds. Well, he says if it's true, would that affect the betting odds, et cetera? Well, obviously it would. And
But the thing is that there's no real way to know that this is happening when it's happening. So it's saying that that happened in 2019. Obviously, it's coming out now in 2022 and not really going to have a big impact on our betting. I did hear a little bit, like one of the coaches said that the owner was paying him like $100,000 a game to lose or something in that nature. I don't know exactly the exact details.
If you're a Jets fan, that makes a lot of sense now.
It wasn't with the Jets, though, I don't think.
Had to throw a jab at your Jets, though.
Oh, shut up.
Now,
I'll tell Ma.
I wanted to know, now, are you guys, I always have to ask this, I never know, are you guys married? What's your situation?
What, to each other?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, not married. Nope.
Hey, well, it's a brave new world out there. You know, you never know.
Yeah, no, I'm a free man, so no, I'm good.
All right.
So, I've had a girlfriend for almost 3 years, so.
All right. Well, just make sure you keep her away from the business and away from the money. And
actually, CSN in the chat, that's my girlfriend.
Okay, well, nothing in writing. That's it.
No. Nope.
Hey.
Now, where do you see the online betting thing going? I mean, do you see a scenario where we are now going to have, well, we already have something here in New York where we have casinos and things like that, but do you envision a day when we will have like pop-up little stores just dedicated to like online betting and things like that?
Like brick and mortar?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really online betting if it's in person.
True.
It would just be pop-up places where you can bet. And I could easily see that happening if like FanDuel or DraftKings gets like a sponsorship with Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get a little pop-up thing in the corner where you can go and get your wings and whatever over there. And then, you know what? I'm going to go throw $100 on the Jets tonight because I'm going to watch the game.
I bet. I'm out.
You know, that's not the point. That was just the first team that popped in my mind because you mentioned them. But no, you would be like,
that was quick. I knew that was coming.
And then I could watch the game while on that Buffalo Wild Wings. And it's kind of it could be a good opportunity for like some of the smaller businesses or restaurants to be able to kind of open up a little thing in their corner where you can place bets. Kind of like how some restaurants have like the Keno lottery thing or like the little scratch offs in their thing. they can do the same thing with sports betting if it becomes legalized in your state.
Right. And I just wanted to bring up your site here. This is your YouTube channel. And I wanted to just see, I wanted to explain to everybody here that you have different, let's see where you're now. Do you have different, you said you have different sections, correct? For the parlays and things like that?
For the what, sorry?
What is that, parlay and picks and whatnot?
Oh, Picks and Parlays is another YouTube channel. It's at a company that we work with. Also work for or work with. But ESB, this is all our thing. We do our shows each day. You can see the show, the ones that are just like the thumbnails of me and Nick. Mm-hmm. With like the shows, like the one you're over, that one was one of our show. Actually, that was one of our live watch-alongs when we were watching the two championship games for football. So we'll do those. And then the ones that just have like teams on them, those are like our free pick videos. We'll have like single game bets and stuff like that. So we'll have a bunch of just a bunch of content that would come out and constantly be able to, with that stuff, promote our website, our Instagram, TikTok, like promote all of our social media and and then share out picks. And that's how we can really grow, is you throw out some free pick stuff and people flock to it and like it.
Now from that, do you have like a Patreon page? I know you have the website here that I'm showing the link to here. So on this site, they can get, maybe some content that they wouldn't get on YouTube.
Correct. Over there, that's more premium side of stuff would be a bunch of our college basketball plays. Like we'll do the couple of free pick videos a night. We'll do like one or two, three if it's on about to be a Saturday, because Saturdays are bombarded with a lot of games. But most of the college basketball stuff is up on the site, and people can kind of buy that stuff. We've been really, really hot in college basketball this year. We're up like almost 70 units at this point for college basketball alone. So we've been having a really good year there. So we've been selling a lot over on the site as well for that stuff. So kind of the premium part of it helps pay for me and Nick. That's a big chunk of how we're able to make our living.
Come rich, bitch! That's great. That is great. Now, what, in your opinion, what is the toughest thing to bet on?
Baseball.
Baseball is,
without a doubt.
Why do you feel that way?
It's a money line sport. It's a little bit more tricky with certain situations. You get a lot of teams,
pitchers,
that are
bullpens.
Pitchers, bullpens, just a lot of variables that go into each game. So I feel like baseball would be the tough. It's a money line sport, meaning you're betting A team to win or B team to win. It's not like in basketball where you can grab like a spread, which might make it a little bit easier per se. You can look at like the Mets versus the Yankees or something like that. And Mets will be -120, Yankees +110 or something. It's like a money line sport because you're either betting one or you're betting the other to win. And it's a little bit more trickier that way because these teams are also playing 5 to 6 games a week and they're back-to-back nights. And it's just a long, drawn-out season. So there's a lot of tricky spots with baseball. When it comes to the other sports, I feel like they're a little bit easier to cap, but there's no like easy sport. No, they're all difficult in their own nature. And they take a lot of time to look at the numbers and be able to really gauge on what you want to go after. But, baseball, I feel like would be the toughest one for me.
See, for me, I would say the NFL. And it's strictly because of the handle that these books take on the NFL. And because the lines will move a little bit, but this will be the NFL is the sharpest sport that you can bet because that is just the highest amount of people betting the game. So by the time Sunday comes around, when everybody's bet these games, because you'll get 50, 60, 70,000 Sunday night football games, get over 100,000 bets on these. So these lines are right where they should be. So I think the NFL, just by volume of the amount of people who bet the lines, which make them sharper, that's why you'll see a lot of people with like sports like college basketball, you'll see them target the SWAC or these little conferences with the nickel states and the Mississippi valleys and like the ones that nobody's ever heard of other than, well, the people who bet on these games, because not many people bet those. Tons of people bet the NFL, and you know tons of people are going to bet the Super Bowl. So that line that the Super Bowl is going to be, it's probably going to be a very sharp line. It's probably going to land within a few points of that line.
Now, what do you guys think if somebody's interested in getting into the whole sports betting kind of thing? Give me definitely and the people out there an idea of what are the good steps to take so that you don't end up in the poorhouse. Obviously, my rule is that you never bet what you can't afford to lose.
Yes. Bet with your head not over it. Is that how it goes?
Obviously, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. This should be recreational money unless you're doing this as a full-time profession. And obviously, your bankroll is going to be a lot different than other people's. Because there's some people who strictly bet for a living, where their bankroll is $250,000 and they're betting $2,000 to $5,000 a game and stuff like that. Obviously, Tim and I, we don't bet that much. We don't disclose how much we bet on each game, but we don't bet $1,000 on each game. But also, one thing you got to keep in mind is whatever your bankroll is, whether your bankroll is $100, whether it's $1,000, whether it's $10,000, one thing to keep in mind is you shouldn't be betting more than 3 to 5% of your bankroll per game. So say your bankroll is $100, means you should be betting anywhere from $3 to $5 a game. That way you don't blow all your money on one game. You'll notice a lot of people who go through those problems, they'll be betting, they'll have a $100 bankroll, but they'll bet $40 on a game when that's just an outrageous thing. Because at the end of the day, your odds of hitting games, if you're a professional at -110 odds, the spreads and stuff like that, you're hitting around 55 to 60% for professionals. So you can't afford to be betting 40% of your bankroll on that. So another thing that a lot of people love to do that Tim and I, we kind of say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, is people love to parlay. Oh, yeah. It's when you go down the board, basically, you can go, okay, I like team A, team B, team C, team D, all of them to win. I'm going to put $10 down, and then if they all win, I can win $100 if every single one of those wins. Don't parlay, because those are the reason why sports books in Las Vegas are beautiful. It's not because of the people betting -110, -110. It's the people parlaying everything. So that's another thing, is don't parlay. Bet every single game straight up, which means just bet the individual game. Don't mess with combining it with other games, because then your odds go down. You're paying more juice, and just in the long run, you're not going to make money parlaying. Bet everything straight.
Or if you do parlay, straight bet everything that you do too. So if you're doing a four teamer, make sure you straight bet team A to win. That's it. Team B to win. That's it. Team C to win. Team D to win. And then whatever you put on each game, put like a quarter of what you did on the 14 parlay. Cause one of our buddies that we work with all the time says the best way to go 3-1 is to put them into a 14 parlay. Cause then it doesn't cash. Cause if you go 3-1 on a 14 parlay, nothing. You have to go 4-0 in order to cash that and make money. So if, as long as you're straight betting it, hey, you're hitting 3 out of 4 plays, that's going to be profitable tonight. Even if you put the quarter unit or whatever on the parlay and it doesn't hit, at least you're making money if you go 3-1. So if you're going to parlay, whatever, say if you normally bet $100 a game, put $25 on the parlay or $20 on the parlay. Don't go and put the $100 on the parlay as well, because that's how you're going to eventually lose a lot of money. And yeah, that's why Vegas has a bunch of beautiful, huge buildings.
And, you know, Franklin, after listening to these guys just say all that, I feel this is appropriate for myself.
I'm a loser. Same way.
That's got to be like the new math they're talking about, because that completely went over my head. That is why, like, I would definitely tune into these guys' YouTube channel. I'd get over to their website, because if you're like me and you don't know what the hell they were just talking about, you have to learn it, because I would be that chump. I'd be that loser that bet $50 out of the 100 and said, "Oh yeah, well, I like the Rangers. Let's go." And I would have been sunk. But it's amazing when, you know, you hear guys, you know, like yourselves, talk about it in that way, that there's so much that goes into it in terms of, you touched on it before, the players, the particular game, the weather conditions, all the injuries, all these things come into what you guys have to factor into when even just what you're doing. You're looking at the games and figuring out lines and what is a good betting line. You have to take that, all of that, into consideration, and it can be mind-boggling if you're trying to do it on your own. And that's why, you know, guys like yourselves, it's really an invaluable resource to go and, you know, look at your website, watch your stuff on YouTube, because I mean, you could be lost. You could really be lost.
No, you can be lost. I've only got 10 toes, okay? And he already blew past me. Right. Question. You did mention Vegas before. One thing I didn't ask, is boxing still
does get some action here. I don't live in Vegas, I don't know. But yeah, people still bet on boxing. The thing that's difficult about betting on boxing, that's why during the summer when it was only baseball, I bet a lot of UFC. I'd rather bet that than boxing, because number one, I just think UFC is more interesting than boxing. The other one,
I didn't know there was betting on UFC.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. And the thing is, though, is the lines are a lot better in UFC, because when you look at boxing, when the couple times I have looked at it with because there was a couple cards with the Jake Paul crap, but like, you know, when those brothers fought, and I would look at the card, I would bet against them, whatever I want to do. And I would look down the card, and all I see with boxing here is minus 800, minus 1,000, minus 1,200. Like these massive, massive favorites that you can never bet those straight up, because to give you an idea, minus 1,000, you would have to bet $1,000 to profit $100. Like you'd be laying $10 to win a dollar. Like that, it's just not worth betting these massive favorites. That's what makes betting boxing so difficult. And I've bet all of, I think I want to say three boxing matches. That's it. Because like these lines are absolutely insane when you look at them, because it's just the top guys fighting these bums most of the time. So that betting on boxing, yes, people still do it. I don't, because the lines are never worth me even looking at it.
And I would consider the MMA is the same thing, right?
No, the only times I've ever seen, yeah, I was gonna say, unless your name is Amanda Nunes or Khabib Nurmagomedov or someone like that, like where you are the top of your game, the biggest I see is really -300, -400s, but most of them are actually pretty close. So especially the lower level of the UFC. Those are actually pretty closely lined compared to boxing. Like, the lines are significantly easier to bet in the UFC than there is in boxing.
Interesting. You say that. There you go. And frankly, another thing I didn't know here. There's a big difference between, you know, the traditional boxing, which, you know, I would have guessed that too, because first of all, we're well beyond the glory days of boxing when you had, you know, multiple guys in different divisions, and, you know, they all had their different styles and they were all quality, just like the guys were saying here. You have a supreme top heavy sport in terms of boxing. So you're only dealing with maybe four or five dudes, and, you know, they only fight each other when they're going to have a massive payday.
Right.
So. Yes. So you kind of hamstring.
You don't want to ruin that shiny little undefeated record you got there. Like
exactly.
That makes sense.
Let's see. CSN is chiming in here again. I imagine it's a good idea to stick to sports, you know, if you plan on making a living on betting. Yeah, well,
absolutely. Yeah. If you know a sport and you have success in a sport, for me, that's been hockey a little bit for me, because I love betting the NHL. If you find a sport you love,
then focus on that one. Because I know a lot of people love focusing on basketball or baseball or football. So everybody has their niche.
Absolutely. And plus one, you guys have been crushing it on you know, she brings up a good point here. What are you guys doing on TikTok? How does that, you know, like, interact
with plays,
everything else?
And we give out free picks. It's free pick videos. But they're just like 15 seconds, and sometimes we'll pick out a sound where we, like, it's like a little dance or something, or I'll get my girlfriend involved in a couple of videos, or my little brother, or we have a lot of college basketball. That's a big one. That's probably my favorite one right now. By the way, plus money, honey, she works at Picks and Parlays with us. So, hi, Allie. How you doing?
Franklin, you see, this is
what you do it.
We have to get involved in this betting. They got girls. They got everything. I mean,
I ain't got enough fingers to count with. Sorry.
You know, we're over here talking about guy crap on here, and we're getting nowhere. You know, these guys, they're making money. Okay, they're having their own business. They got all the chicks. You know,
hey,
I mean, come on, jeez,
that's the way to do it.
I'm rebranding next week.
Next week, rebranding in 10 minutes from now. Is there any sort of algorithm involved?
How does that work with your YouTube channel, with, you know, the algorithm and getting people, you know, to get on there in terms of sports related stuff? Because it's got to be super competitive for you guys. Yeah.
And it's only going to get more and more competitive as more and more states legalize it, because then you're going to get the CBS and the ESPNs and the big name markets and stuff like that involved, and those guys know nothing. All the betting shows on ESPN, they don't know crap. They're paid to be on that show. They don't know what they're doing. To be completely honest, if you want people that know what they're doing, YouTube has more knowledgeable sports handicappers than any ESPN show will ever have.
Oh, wow.
So you see, this is how we go viral, Franklin. You know?
There you go.
I mean, we're not paid to be on here. I mean, we're not paid to be. We produce our own content. So this, because when we started our channel, we made nothing from the channel for the first few months until you hit that 1,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. So what we are putting out, and we didn't work with Picks and Parlays until like 6 months in. So when we were doing our content in the beginning of everything, we didn't make any money off of it. So that show just shows that we did it because we wanted to do content and we felt like we knew what we were doing. So, yes, people that are being paid to be on ESPN to talk about things, they don't know what they're doing.
They really don't.
Okay.
And besides yourselves, I guess you wouldn't have any like mentors. Or, I mean, you've started collaborations, right, with other people in the industry? Okay.
100%. Yeah, there's a bunch of, once again, plug into Picks and Parlays. That's one of the businesses we work for. There's a bunch of guys over there that we listen to, we learn from, because older guys will have a lot more information from their style. And then we learn from them, and then they learn from us as well, because there's different styles between the older age and the younger age. Yes, there's plenty of people that we listen to over there. That are very, very smart with what they do. They've been doing it for 15, 20, 25 years. Some of them have been doing it since the 70s. And we listened to all of those guys, whether it was Sean Higgs, Craig Trapp, Chip Tringas, Ross Benjamin. We listen to all those guys because it's kind of those are the older generation that we kind of – looked at, and we take some of their ideas and then we bring in some of our own, and it's a really good way to try to learn through the people that we work with. So it definitely does help having a backing behind you.
Jiminy Greek was full of crap.
No, he's pretty good, but he's one of our competitors, so we don't mention him. There's kind of the other side, like Picks and Parlays is a site that we're on, but there's the other sites that we go that are against us that we don't bring up that often. But there's definitely competitors, and I will say Jiminy the Greek or whatever his name was, Gio the Greek. He's part of another website. So there is definitely some competition. So that's one of your competitive parts.
Well, they, you know, it's all about, you know, being competitive, you know, and I have to say again, I mean, I was extremely impressed when I heard that you had this going on. And I thought it was something that our audience and everybody out there that's involved and interested in betting needed to hear what you guys were doing. And I want to, again, people get over to earlsportsbets.com. You can find them on YouTube here at Earl Sports Bets. They are on Twitter, Instagram. They're also on TikTok with those crazy dancing around videos.
Well, which, it's just a good way to it's all those social medias is a really just it's a good way to help grow our brand.
Right.
That's the whole point. Is if we were just on YouTube or we were just on Twitter or whatever, it's very small. It's really tough to grow on that one thing. But now if I have the YouTube, that's connected to the Instagram, that's connected to Twitter and TikTok and Facebook and this and that and the other and all those other things. That's a real good way to help grow your business. And when me and Nick started this, hey, we're 22 years old, we're brothers, and it really just works. We kind of like created our brand and we kind of ran with it and obviously got help from other companies around the way. And it kind of just spiraled into what we've been doing today. And it's just been a phenomenal ride. So that's all great.
And you know what? And I will say this: your ride is just beginning.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I wish you continued success and growth. And I want to thank you for coming on, spending some time, and getting your channel out there. It's tremendous. And again, thanks, guys, and good luck in the future. And we'll be watching.
We appreciate that.
All right, take care, guys. Be well. All right. Very tremendous. Tremendous.
I learned a lot. I had no idea that, I mean, like I said, as I said earlier, you know, I heard those silly commercials on the radio and it didn't click one ear and out the other. And I had no idea how big this is going to be in New York. This is really something else. And these guys are on the ground floor, hitting the ground running, the both of them.
Absolutely. Tremendous. And you're right, because you can't get through not even a sporting event on TV, but just on, even over the weekends, regular programs with, and it seems like every hotel has their own, you know, app to do betting.
I'm sure they do. Betting. You know, you'd be missing out if you didn't, I guess.
Right. So they were right with them. You know, one thing about those guys, I'll tell you this right now, they know their like numbers and their ratios and
did you hear them? They sounded like it.
Oh my God.
Did you hear them?
and the fact that they were right on it with the number in terms of New York, that they made like $1.2 billion or $1.6 billion in the first, like, I don't even think it was a whole like month. It was like 5 weeks of available betting that, you know, when it got adopted to be legalized in New York here.
And that started in January, correct?
Yeah.
For January 1st? Okay. Good year. Right. Good way to kick off the new year,
I'll say. So it's tremendous. But
that was another thing I forgot to ask them. Hedge funding and betting, that sort of thing, does that sort of kind of go hand in hand? Hedge funding?
No, that's a totally different thing.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, that has to do with stocks and, you know, like commodities and things like that, you know.
Okay, that was like when a probability.
About,
okay.
Yeah, when you're talking about, we were basically, we were talking like narrowed right to, you know, just sports betting in that regard, you know. And they don't touch it. I know some things, you know, here. You know, I may not know all the math that goes into this betting that they were talking about, but I don't have enough fingers and toes. So, but tremendous group of guys there, and I hope they continue to grow and you know, help out a lot of guys that are interested in doing that sports betting. You know, and again, if you have a a gambling problem. Do not go down the road of betting more. If you do have an issue, go and get some help with that. There's services. Like I said, I had that interview with Craig Carton from WFAN. He got in trouble with that to his own admission. I think he does a show on WFAN for people on Sundays that are, have or had issues with that.
Oh, that's good.
So that's a tremendous thing he does. And if you do have a problem, just seek help. I think even New York State has a hotline for that if you are in trouble that way.
As I was saying, those commercials I was listening to again for the third time, at the end of each commercial, that was the last thing that the person said. If you or know somebody who's got a problem, dial, whatever it was, 1-800, whatever it was. They want to make that known too. And that's good though, I think.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
There it is right there. 1-800 Gambler. Thank you.
There you go. Right. Did they throw it up there? Is that
I saw it in the chat.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Terrific. And how did this slip by you? Plus money, honey, wait till I No, I saw that. I flashed up there and I'm waiting to see them.
Hey now.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Great chat. Hey, Gunmetal guy. Nice to see you in the chat. So we put the betting stuff to bed there. Let's move on here. What I'm going to do today is we're just going to go run through our quick hits here. We all know this is our most favorite part of the show. There we go. So we're going to get involved in this. There's a lot. That's why I'm doing this now. There's a lot of stuff in the quick hits that we want to get to. So first and foremost, Franklin, here we go. Trying to be the fastest run through here of this craziness. So actress is fired over viral video ranting over street closures for slain New York City police officers, saying this is effing ridiculous. A New York City actress, shocking, was abruptly fired over complaining on social media about the inconvenience of the road closures in Manhattan due to them honoring the slain police officer Jason Rivera. So I'm not even going to give
unemployed actress, by the way.
Unemployed. So she gets the, she gets the brain dead award of
I'm a loser
for even saying something like that in terms of the situation that those families and the police department is going through right now. Shows a lack of disconnect, shows a lack of, kind of where,
passion, common sense. We keep going.
There you go. Yeah. It kind of tells you where the younger generation is coming from, because she did look like she was younger. She looked like she was, in her 20s or whatever. Too. Yeah. Well, there you go. Definitely an idiot. From the word go there. Next up. Whoopi Goldberg, speaking of other idiots, is a theme here right now. May have finally gone too far with disgusting comments of the Holocaust. She was the longtime co-host of The View, stepped in it, for lack of a better phrase. Back in 2009, she defended Roman Polanski. She asserted that his assault of a woman wasn't you-know-what. I can't say that word on YouTube because they freak out. So basically what she says, and I'm not going to,
paraphrase?
Well, also, if you're going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No,
it's not about race.
It's about race, but it's not about race. not about race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man. That's what it's about.
But it's about white supremacy.
But these are two white groups of people.
Well, that how was do black people
see them as white
people. But you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The minute you turn it into race, it goes down this alley. Let's talk about it for what it is. It's how people treat each other. It's a problem. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, because black, white, Jews, everybody eats each other. So is it, if you're uncomfortable, if you hear about mouse, should you be worried? Should your child say, oh my God, I wonder if that's me? No, that's not what they're gonna say. They're gonna say, I don't wanna be like that.
All right, so she tried to cover herself there as she went down the road. I think she
backpedal.
Yeah, a little bit, because she kind of tried to, you know, go the long way around, like, oh well, it doesn't matter what race you are, blah, blah, blah. But the cat was already out of the bag, you know. And there's like pillars of things you don't kind of bring up and you don't equate to anything, and the Holocaust and demeaning those people, you know, and what they went through. You don't demean African American people and the slave history, okay? And you don't prop up Hitler or anybody that is a dictator like that, okay, as somebody that just, you know, might have had some good ideas, okay?
Mussolini and Stalin gets a pass.
That's a bad idea. You don't go there. You don't say nothing like that. Even if you're a crazy person and you want to think that stuff, you think it to yourself. You don't go out publicly and say that. So, what did you say?
You tick the lock. You keep it keep it quiet.
Exactly. And maybe if you throw it away too. But also in the scope of this, you know, you also don't, you don't get a chance to take it back, because now people are saying, you know, well, anybody else would have got fired. You know, they wouldn't got a, you know, she got, you know, a two week vacation. You know, she was told to stay home for 2 weeks. We've seen this with sports commentators that are talking about a game or analyzing a game, and they say something that is like a simile to something, and then they're done. You know, they lose their job, they're kicked off the network, etc. Now a lot of people are saying, "Hey, here's another prime example. The same thing should happen here."
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you, Chris, but a lot of times people have pretty short memories, okay? You remember what – oh, here we go. The old memory. What was his name again? The Australian guy. The Australian guy who said something stupid, okay? Gibson. Mel Gibson.
Oh, right, right.
Okay, remember when he said something stupid? I forget what he said in Hollywood. He said some really stupid crap. Okay. You know what? It took him, what, 3 or 4 years? He's sort of kind of back in the graces again. Mm-hmm. You know, people have forgotten about that. And what was the name of that? Paula Deen. Okay. Yeah. Same thing. She said some way off the cuff, out of line stuff. Okay. People have short memories. They're sort of kind of, you know, we'll forget about what you said. Dennis will say it again. And she's sort of kind of back on the news. She was on the news just the other day, you know. I don't agree with that. You know, if you do or say something stupid, again, you should have to, I don't want to say you have to pay for it, but, you know, you should have to suffer some kind of, you know, punishment for what you did or what you said.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I don't mean, you know, a couple of years later, we'll forget about this, you know, take a powder for a couple of years and come back to TV, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, but that's probably what's going to happen. Like I said, people have short memories.
Yeah. Gunmetal Guy USA says Whoopi is like the old TV shutdown sound minus actual purpose. You know,
like that dot in the middle.
She was talking about you know, people eating things, and you know, I'm sure it's been a while since you know, any eating went on with her.
my.
That's for sure. Florida Jeff is in the house.
There he is.
I'm not for canceling people over idiotic, even anti-Semitic remarks made by Karen Elaine Johnson. That's her name, by the way. Franklin, if you did not know that, her name is Whoopi Goldberg is a like a, you know, stage name for her.
Oh, you really? So yeah. You mean to tell me that her parents really didn't name her Whoopi? I had no idea.
And she's actually not Jewish. So, which is
go on. Maybe she converted.
Yeah, maybe she did. He says, but the left started this by canceling everyone they don't like, so they should live by their own rules. Well, there you go. He's got a point. He's definitely got a point there. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But people love her anyhow. So I'm curious to find people just love her. Oh, and she didn't mean, you know.
People love that show, and I don't understand why. Whatever.
It's got legs, and it just keeps right on running. I mean, it's got the three Yentas sitting there, blah, 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 and it just, you know, it gives me a headache thinking about it.
I hear you. All right. So speaking about giving people headaches, the teammates of the women's swim team are uncomfortable because Lila Thomas, she doesn't cover her you-know-what while she's in the locker room with girls. So there you go. Well, you know, I mean, they should honor, you know, her trans woman being.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
In the shower, you put that thing away, for crying out loud. I almost tripped over it.
I know. Another female Penn swimmer bravely came forward and described how team members were uncomfortable when changing in the locker room with transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. According to a report, Thomas's male genitalia was sometimes exposed. Oh my God. It's definitely awkward because Leah is, has male body parts and is still attracted to women. One of Lila Thomas's teammates told the Daily Mail and Excel, oh my God. So there you go. While Lila covers herself with a towel sometimes, there's a decent amount of nudity, the swimmer says. She and others have had a glimpse of her private parts.
Hey now.
She stated that team members have raised their concern with the coach trying to get Thomas ousted from the female locker room, but got nowhere. It's really upsetting because Leah doesn't seem to care how it makes everyone else feels.
Uncomfortable.
The 35 of us are supposed to be accept being uncomfortable in our own space, in our own locker room, for like the feelings of one. Oh boy. Franklin, your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, it's a distraction, you know. I got a buddy of mine who who's a pretty big believer in, you know, athletes, you know, staying away from their other half, their women or whatever it is, prior to a game because it's a distraction, you know. And I'm beginning to think that this – I'm sorry, what was her name? Larry? What was her name? Larry?
It might be Larry.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, whatever a name happens to be, okay, could be a distraction. Everybody else in the locker room, and so therefore you might not be at your best.
It might be some kind of attraction going on there with some of the girls.
It's bigger than I thought.
You never know what's going. You know, most swim meets can be very, you know, very lonely at times.
Can you imagine going in a tour bus or whatever it is, you know, going from meet to meet? Yeah, you never know.
Oh, yeah.
It's too big.
Well, you know what? In all seriousness, hey, it's a crazy situation. And just like Florida Jeff had brought up earlier, it's really something where, you know, this is what a lot of the people on the left wanted. They wanted, you know, equality. They wanted, you know, different genders and different people that identify a certain way to have inclusion. And this, you know, this is the part that they don't think about. Sometimes I think a lot of those groups, when they think about ideas, they think like in generalities, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, it would be really, you know, that's kind of like the right thing to do, to have, you know, X, Y, and Z people all kind of compete and, you know, everybody gets a chance. But they don't think about situations like this, locker rooms, bathrooms, things like that.
Where was I last week? I forget exactly where I was, but the bathroom actually had male and female on the same door.
Yeah.
You know, suppose, you know, guys in there sitting down, you know, squeezing one out, and some chick happens to walk it, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, she's going to run the other way.
Oh, I mean, I hope he does at least, you know. That would help.
Would Marty say? Mangina.
He said, yeah, man. Yes. Farmers also love hen houses, but the cuckling, I'm sure they would have to do without. Yeah, absolutely. They found Captain Winky. Yes. Little Ace Ventura line right there for you guys.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that. I've never seen any of those, actually.
Where there's openness, there is the diversity that was barked for by progressiveness. A swinging kibasa in the locker room is a side effect of wokeness. Yeah, well, it's like I was saying before, you know, this is the fallout of that. Absolutely. Not to mention all the breaststroking. Oh, yeah.
Nice one, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We like that. All right, let's continue on here. And we have, let's see. Well, you know, keeping in line with, you know, equality, it seems that my favorite team, the New York Yankees, have hired a woman manager in their minor league ranks, a Rachel Balkovic. Says she's living the American dream in a new role here. It says she is aware of the negativity in her social media feeds and tries to leave it there. Her sisters see it too, and they can't help but pass along certain disparaging reactions to her barrier-breaking journey. It's hilarious to me, she says, because it is the American dream. In the clubhouse, she hasn't even seen any of that toxicity in there. Okay, well, that's good. If you had known my story, you have a pulse. I think it's pretty hard not to get behind what is going on here. Well, it also depends, actually. It actually depends on you know, how her behind looks.
Hey, now.
We might not... you know, we might want to be behind her. But this promotion, a year after former Yankees employee Kim Ng, I think that's how you pronounce that, NG, became the major's first female GM with the Marlins. She will be running the clubhouse in Tampa. That's where this minor league team is based out of. So she's getting her shot. The players that I've worked with, they don't like me. They don't like what I'm saying. They don't like, I feel like they, okay. So she's getting respect. She's some are liking her, some aren't. So that's basically what, you know, what's going on here. So, I mean, to me, I think this is much ado about nothing, you know, the dust up of it. You know, I think it's, you know, a little much. We are talking about like an A-ball affiliate here. So if she's qualified, great. The umbrage that a lot of guys take is, well, who did she step over to get this opportunity? You know, was there was there was there a guy that was working his way up and he now has to wait, you know, a year or two before getting another job? Who knows? You know, we would
think that was the case, Chris.
I don't know, but the anti people against her, that's what they're going to say. That's the first thing they're going to bring up. So we don't know that. You know, we have no idea of knowing that. You know, every once in a while you get these feel good stories. You know, you get the feel good stories. I don't think it's a big deal. You know, what do you feel?
Well, you know what? Can't she get the job done? Do you think she can get the job done? Okay, she was given the job because the
job done.
What's that?
She can get the job done.
Well, she was given the job because obviously somebody thought she is good at what she does. Yeah. So,
there's no way to talk about her and not make it sound perverted.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
There's just no way to do that. But you know, in all seriousness, we wish her well. We'll see what happens. You know, and maybe she'll win that division, and you know, everything will be great.
So, what would the great Marge Schott say if she was around?
Stuff that you don't want to hear. That's for sure. She wouldn't be saying stuff like this.
They say, "See a broad to get that booty out."
Hang it down and smack them, yak them. All right, and one more story. I wanted to talk about this because I think this is a good story. It's tragic, but it's a good story to kind of, you know, bring attention to the fact that, you know, there are chicks out there that, you know, we look at and we're like, oh, she's so hot. She's got everything, blah, blah, blah. But we forget that women are women. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this happened over the weekend. And it was really tragic because, you know, she was one of the few black women to actually win Miss USA in like
the history
of it. And what it is basically is Chelsea Christ was her name. She basically took a nosedive from a high midtown high rise on Sunday. Okay.
That's a shame.
You know, shortly before she jumped, she had posted on her Instagram, "May this day bring you rest and peace." And I guess, you know, she wasn't talking about other people,
I don't think,
in that post. She was talking about herself. In 2019, and 30 years old, she was a lawyer too. She had a law degree. She jumped from her luxury 60 story Orion building is where she lived, around 7:15 in the morning.
Ugh.
And was found dead in the street below. So it was pretty tragic, and here's a little picture still of her. You guys can see that. She's, you know, very attractive girl, lady here. This is when she won, you know, the award, the show, I should say. And that's a picture of the building. So,
wow.
I mean,
she did a half gainer off the top of that building?
Well, I mean, I don't know what she was on the 29th floor. So, oof. You know, not all the way up, obviously, but, you know, definitely, you know, up there. So
that's a shame.
I mean, she was even on Extra TV for a while, interviewing the likes of Lady Gaga and other celebrities. So she, you know, she had jobs, she had high profile jobs, she had, but the thing is, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't know what these chicks are going through, you know, and you think that, you know, you think that they have everything together, that they have everything, you know, they ever would want and stuff like that. But a lot of guys in the space, we talk about, you know, oh, well, you know, the hamster wheel and girl, you know, they're constantly thinking about things. They're thinking about, oh, well, and we don't know her love life, you know, and again, you know, we always say this, hot chicks or even chicks in general, they can go down to the local bar on the corner and get a guy whenever they want, you know, and they have guys throwing themselves at them virtually and stuff like that.
Well, they would probably, let's not get too hasty about that. They'd probably get some beta.
Well, yeah, no, well, true. And that was, you're jumping ahead of me, Franklin.
Sorry.
That's it. You know, the guys that she might have been attracting or that were being set up with, et cetera, you know, yeah, they're probably good looking dudes, but they're not the guy, you know, she really wants to be loved by, you know, adored by, you know. She may have had that Pollyanna, and most of them do have that Pollyanna kind of syndrome playing in their mind. And there you go. She might have got to the point where she was like, forget it, you know. Very sad. You know, and, you know, a lot of people were upset about it. But
it was on every paper, in every paper.
It was. But you know, you just never know. You know, you never know. Let's see what some of these she should not have or should not receive a problem if she earned a job. The problem comes when qualifications are placed on color scales and private parts. Oh, he's talking about the other article. Yep, yeah, true. Baseball is a form of war. Woken don't belong on the battlefield. It's an unnecessary distraction. Okay, so Florida Jeff is not a fan of the female coach. Okay. Marge Schott would make Karen Elaine Johnson's comments. Yeah, she would. She totally would. Gunmetal Guy USA says, if the trend to keep slotting a quota in these slots continues, don't say anything in case the quality or performance of industries or businesses falter. Don't dare go back to the default of blaming men. Yeah, right. I wouldn't hold my breath for them to not be blaming men. Godspeed to the young lady. We need less focus in country on social media and posturing and society engineering. If the society is mentally broken, it's easier to socially break. Yeah, true. And I'm sure, obviously, this girl had some deep mental issues that she was not getting the proper help for.
Demons that were inside of her.
Yeah. And again, we know nothing. You know, we know nothing. Maybe in the next couple of days you'll hear from people and stories will leak out. But we don't know what her home life was like growing up. We don't know anything about that. So, but again, you know, a very permanent solution to a lot of temporary problems. Okay.
It's a shame. It really honestly is. So,
yeah. All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the guys from Earl Sports Bets one more time for coming back, for coming into the studio to discuss their stuff. And you know what? Maybe one of these, who knows? Maybe, you know, if we got like, you know, we'll get them on for, you know, some other sports related stuff as the, you know, months come by. You know, maybe we'll come on for some little draft picks and things like that. Maybe we'll do some fun stuff with them in the future.
Big thing of oak tag or whatever it was, and make me a box and make us a box for
there you go.
The ball or something like that. Speaking of that, Chris, real quick, I understand the Giants have a new coach. I mean, I know we don't generally talk too much sports, but I just thought I'd throw that by you. What do you think?
No, yeah, well, it actually ties into what we're talking about tonight. You know, they did get, speaking of quotas and things like that, they got in trouble because they may or may not have made a decision on a coach before they got through their whole interview process.
Oh, I know.
And one of their particular interviewees was a black man. Okay. And through the 9 degrees of separation, there always seems to be with the Giants that it goes back to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots in some fashion or way. Yeah. So it turned out that he sent a text to what he thought was the coach, Brian Daboll, who is the new head coach of the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know how you say that name. I've been trying to figure that out all week.
Well, he sent it to this Brian Flores. So the text was like, "Hey, Bri, awesome to hear you got the job. Congrats and good luck in the future." And the, of course, that Brian turns around and says, "Not too sure if you're talking to me, but I haven't had my interview yet." So, yeah. So it was, it was a little weird. And he actually is turned around now, and he's suing a lot of people. He's suing the NFL, okay, for breaking the Rooney Rule, which is the rule to have coaches in and different descent. And yeah, there's a rule in the NFL where you have to, I think it's at least two minority candidates, you know, non-white, to come in and interview for your open position, whether it's a coordinator, head coach, whatever you might
know that.
Yeah. So.
Well, stick around. Yeah. White folks will be a minority soon.
it'll be as soon as he's old white. Well, see, that's the problem. You know, the teams are owned by these huge families.
Right.
Okay. And the stuff gets, just keep getting handed down. You know, it's very rare for a team to, completely get sold off. It happens once in maybe a decade or two, but most of the time it's handed down generation to generation. And, it's rich white dudes, okay, that own a lot of these teams. So, it's probably not going to end anytime soon. I think, there's three more coaching positions open for head coaching jobs. I would be very shocked if a black man doesn't get one of those jobs. Now, I don't know if this guy's going to get a job because he's basically, gone out on a limb and said, screw you, NFL. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you do that with a big corporation, they say, no, it's not screw us, it's screw you, because all they'll do.
Blacklisted.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, no pun intended. They'll have to, because what'll happen is that a black coach will get hired by somebody, right, another team, and then that's it. It'll be done, and then you won't, this guy Flores, it'll take him a decade to get another job, and if he does, it's just going to be a coordinator job again. He may never get a shot at being a head coach now that he went scorched earth, So we'll see.
All right. Keep an eye on this.
Very, very interesting stuff. But I don't think the Giants are going to, be in any trouble here or anything, because you can't prove anything. You can't, they can just come out and say, that's not true. We didn't make any final decisions until everybody was done, and then we got back together again after the interviews and then said, okay, well, what do we think now? That's all they got to say. And then once they say that, then, okay, well, I guess they didn't conspire. So
it's a concentrated and getting better. My next door neighbor was telling me just the other day, because it's going to be 5 years before we're good again.
Yeah, God, jeez. Marty says Biden came to New York City and now crime is over. Yeah, I know. He did visit the POTUS or Pompous or whatever you want to call him. Pompous.
Everything is good now.
Everything's great. He did, these politicians always do dog and pony shows. They come in and, they shake everybody's hand, or maybe they don't do that right now.
Kiss babies. No, see, that's what got our former governor. That's what got our governor in trouble.
Yeah, well, he was.
Was he kissing babies and slapping behinds or something like that?
Well, yeah, he was, you know, but the babies were 24 years old. All right. So on that note, again, I want to thank the guys from Real Sports Bet. I want to thank everybody in the chat for asking the questions and participating tonight. And most of all, I want to thank you, Franklin, for being here.
Glad I could be here, Chris. Wouldn't, as usual, wouldn't miss it for the world.
Absolutely not. And guys, we are here for you guys. Society may be crazy. We're not. We will be back next week with a brand new show. God bless you all and see you all later.